Good morning, everybody. No, let's try it again. Good morning, everybody. I just want to get a good look at all of you real quick. Heidi's over here. Heidi, you start on that end. I'm going to start on this end. I just want to make sure I see every single person in the room. Just want to tell you that we love you and miss every single one of you. Some of you, I need to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Eugene. I'm the lead pastor here at this campus. That's my girl, Heidi, right there. Would you give Heidi a big round of applause? So good to see all of y'all. Baby, would you please greet these
good
precious
morning
people?
To everybody. Are y'all glad to be here? I said this in the earlier service, and never in our whole lifetime has the church ever been shut down for 6 months. Ever. I mean, it's almost like you're in the twilight zone a little bit. Doesn't it feel like that? Going, you drive by this building that we were so blessed with and so thankful. And go, remember when we used to go in there? And there's so many things that God's done in this season. We're going to share that with y'all, some of the things today. But I think one of the biggest things is, and I think all of you would agree, never, ever, 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 ever again will we ever take coming together in God's house for granted again.
Amen.
Is that true? Never. And online was good, and thank God for it. But after a few weeks, you're going, okay, I'm kind of done with this. I need to see our people. And the psalmist was so right when he wrote, I was glad when they said, let us come to the house of the Lord together. And God help us, and I'm saying us, all of us. God help us and forgive us if we ever get up on a Sunday morning again and go, oh, we got to go to church.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to go serve in the nursery. Oh, I'm supposed to be greeting today. I don't feel like it. Because you're going to forget what these last 6 months have felt like.
That's right.
And you're going to start, God help us.
Yeah.
I was glad when they said, let us come to the house of the Lord. What a privilege and what an honor it is to gather together. God's always with us, and we're again going to talk about this some today. God's always with us. He's never not with us. But there is a corporate anointing. There is a corporate outpouring of God's presence. When Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. So if we've got more than two and three in here, you can imagine the presence of God that's here. And let us never take it for granted. What an awesome privilege it is to come together. We have missed y'all. We say, and God speaks to the church as a spiritual family, there's a reason. Because when family's not together, it's just something's missing. Don't you feel that? So we're just so grateful to be here today. So good to see y'all. Just during worship, I just kept looking around going, hey, y'all, hey. Just so good to have y'all today. And I hope, and our prayer today is that you leave here today so full, so overflowing, so grateful to the great God that we have. Yeah. And all the work that he's doing in us. Eugene.
That's beautiful, baby. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Could y'all give the worship team a round of applause?
Awesome.
They did a great job this morning. We miss them.
Awesome.
And so today it's kind of weird coming back and you go and just visiting. I told Heidi, I said, I want you to help me the first service back because it's just a little weird. I mean, we're back and I don't think it needed to be a normal sermon, though there is a message today. It just needed to be, let's get the family back together again, and kind of like we would do with our kids when we needed to have a little bit of a family meeting and just kind of reset everybody, and we're just going to do that today. Just talk to you, share our heart with you, and then just kind of reset just a little bit. I do want to take care of just a little bit of family business today, and if you would help me. Obviously, it's been a very difficult season. I'm not asking for your pity at all, but it has been the most difficult season to lead a church or a campus has been this last 6 months. It just has. We've never faced this. We've never walked through this before in our nation. And so on our behalf, it's on our staff's behalf, it's been awkward. It's one of those seasons. You got the political season going on at the same time, civil unrest in our streets. You've got all of that going on, plus a pandemic on top of that. And as Pastor Nick mentioned, then a hurricane, a girl named Laura shows up to town. And you've got all of this going on at one time. And I do want to just speak as far as this congregation that meets here in St. Landry Parish. And I just want you to hear my heart on this. We are still in a COVID-19, a pandemic. It is. Forget what you've heard on CNN and forget what you've heard on Fox News. I'm not a doctor or a physician or a scientist, but I do know people. And here's what, in fact, I want to read a passage of scripture to you, and it's found in the book of Romans chapter 14. I just want to read it to you. Just give me 1 second. Got it? And here's what the scripture says. And y'all believe in scripture, right? It is the guide. It is the word, the word of God. Here's what it says. I want you to accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. How many know there are matters as brothers and sisters in the Lord that we may come against that are disputable? Any of y'all married? Have there any been anything disputable? And so there are going to be things in our society right now, in our culture, that are disputable. That means you can have one side or another side, and you can dispute the matter. But he says, one person's faith allows him to eat anything, but another's, whose faith is weaker, will eat only vegetables. So he just uses an analogy, and I think the Lord would allow me to use this scripture, this passage, to talk about this campus, of which I'm the pastor of. So we live in a world where our governor has asked us to be in phase two, which is he's given a little bit of flexibility to the church that he hasn't given to anybody else. So it hasn't been that you can't. By the way, in my opinion, I think our governor's done a fantastic job navigating a very difficult season. It is a season, no matter what you do, someone's going to be mad at you. I get it. No matter what I've done during this season, some of our congregation is upset about it. Some are glad about it. And then another one, some people are mad and some people are glad. It's just the world we live in today. So when it comes to, we're still in phase two, please, Lord, let us go to phase three quickly. Right now, the governor's asked us to wear masks when we're in public. And I'm going to ask us to wear masks when we come into church. We come in, you come and you sit. Once you get 6 foot, I see people, you're 6 foot away from people. You get into a place, if you go, man, I want to get away. I want to spread out as much as we can. And if you're 6 foot away, then you can take the mask off. And then when church is over, you need to put the mask back on and then we slip back out. Because our community has been hit harder than most communities in our state. We've lost people. We have families in our church who have lost family members, some multiple family members due to this. We live in a world and in our culture and our society and the environment where there are many with pre-existing conditions that make them even more vulnerable. There are people in our church here today who have pre-existing that makes them vulnerable. I want us to go, it's not about me, because it's not. It's about everybody else. And I want to make sure everybody feels as comfortable as possible coming into God's house as we can possibly make it. So I want you to set an example. I want you to be the example. And I don't care whether I hate these. Can everybody at least agree with me? I hate these. I want to get rid of these as soon as we possibly can in Jesus' name. I want to be like the Apostle Paul on the road to de-mask us. Some of you will get that later. On the road to Damascus, de-mask us. On the road as soon as we possibly can. So if you'll wear it going out, thank you. If you'll wear it in the lobby, thank you. If you get in and get away 6 feet and you look around, you got a good 6 foot, go, okay, I can take this off. If you feel comfortable, you want to wear it the whole time, wear it the whole time. But I want us to do everything we possibly can to make those. It's not a matter of faith, it's a matter of peace. Did you hear me? And so we're going to just set that in order. That's the family rules. for this house. What's the other? I don't care. This is it's the climate and the environment which we are in. Thank you. Thank you for setting an example in Jesus' name. And we're going to just, now, we just want to share our heart with everybody.
Thank you. No, it's true. Good. When Eugene and I were talking, just knowing that we were, service was going to start back this week, and we were just talking and just going, it doesn't feel like, and I think Eugene alluded to it doesn't feel like this is a service to just get up and let's open our Bibles and let's just get into the next message. You have to come into a service like this and acknowledge what's happened and is happening and where what we've all walked through. And so we just sat down and just started making some notes of, though it's been a very, very difficult season, and I know you in this room would attest to that, God is still in even the darkest of seasons.
Yes.
And if we look really closely, you will find him there. And there's been so many things that he's spoken to us and taught us and redirected us in this last these last 6 months. And we said, let's just come today and let's just share what we feel like God has been saying to us personally, but to even as us as a church family. And then we'll get on, with messages and all that in the future. But today, we just wanted to do it in this environment. And I hope you appreciate that, and I hope this speaks to your hearts. Because so many of you, and though we haven't seen all of you together, we've spoken to so many of you through these months. And I know for a fact this has been a hard season for many, many of you. This has been a hard season for us. It's been a hard season. It's been a difficult season. Pastor Nick alluded to it or mentioned it during our prayer moment just a minute ago, that we've been left to ourselves. And when we're left to ourselves, we're left to our own thoughts. And that's not always a good thing. That we have been isolated because we've had to be isolated. We've had to be away from people. We've had to be, and so in place of that, then there's been the TV and the news and the phones and the social media and the internet and all the stuff. And it's not been good. And so as we were talking about this, it was really three particular areas that we wanted to hit, and we're going to go through those today, about a reset, pushing the reset button. About a moment of repent, to repent before God, and then a moment of renewing. And I think everybody in this room today and everybody in the first service was in agreement as well. We are all ready for a new season.
Yes.
We're ready for it. God is with us. He's walking with us. But we want to get on the other side of this. And though what's going on with the pandemic and with all the social unrest, all the stuff, so much of that is out of our control. But what is in our control is how we choose to see it and how we choose to walk through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so while we cannot focus and concentrate on what we cannot control, we can focus and concentrate on what we can control, and that's our own hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the first point, if you will, about resetting. Just a reset. And we've really seen even this Sunday and felt it in our hearts, this Sunday was going to be a reset.
Yeah.
And praying for you in this room that this service is a reset. That though we may walk out these doors, wouldn't it be great if we could just lock every door, bring everybody in here, sing Kumbaya, have Taylor up here praying, and we're just worshiping and praying and just live in here and never leave. But that's not the real world, is it? That we've got to walk out these doors and we've got to go back into what we just came out of. So as we reset today, there was something, and Eugene asked me to share this, and some of you girls will know this if you paid attention. If you didn't, that's okay, just don't tell me. But we've tried over these last 6 months, we've had service online on Sundays, and that continues for those who can't be here. But we've tried really hard to do as much as we could online or on, you know, social media and all that for y'all and for all of our campuses to try to keep the Word of God in front of you, to try to keep you encouraged, to try to keep you, you know, praying for you. And our pastors have done that every night, you know, with the 7:14 prayer. And then I've done a couple of Bible studies online, just, trying again just to kind of walk us through this season. And I just finished one just a couple of weeks ago where I taught through Psalms 23. And I'm not going to reteach the Bible study today. You can find that, you know, on the archives, wherever. But I do want to hone in on one point today as we're resetting. And hopefully and prayerfully, it's gonna give you some answers to why you've been feeling the way you've been feeling. Because I think that's part of the frustration that people are feeling, is that you know you're feeling something and you know something's going on, but you cannot get clarity for it for anything. That's what's so frustrating. You know something's not right, you know things, but you cannot put your finger on what it is. And prayerfully today, through the Holy Spirit, He's going to be able to put His finger on what you're sensing and feeling, and that we can correct that and reset that and bring that back to where it needs to be. And so I want us to look at Psalms 23 today. And again, I'm just going to give you one thought out of it. But Psalms 23 is one of the most comforting passages of Scripture, I think, in the entire Bible. And the sad thing about it is that oftentimes we only hold on to this psalm and we only read it at funerals or at wakes or when we've lost someone. Because it is a psalm. It is the words of God that bring such peace and comfort to the hearts of those who are hurting. But the sad thing is sometimes we don't go back and look at it unless we're in a tragic situation at a funeral or a wake or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want us to, I didn't do this at the first service, but I want us to do this. I want us to read this together because I want you to hear the words of this as you're saying it. And I pray that as you're even saying these words of Scripture, that it is resonating and planting deep in your heart. So many of you here today, and I'm not going to cry through this, but I know so many of you have walked in here today needing peace and needing comfort. You've craved it. You've longed for it. And I pray even now as we read these words that God would just open heaven over you today. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would wash over you with peace.
Yes.
And with comfort. And let's read. We're going to have it on the screen and let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such beautiful words penned by a shepherd named David. David was the son of a shepherd. His father was a shepherd. David himself was a shepherd. But as he's writing these words of Psalms 23, he's writing from the perspective of a sheep to his heavenly father, the shepherd. And I don't have time to go through it this morning, but you can go back and read it on your own. Throughout Scripture, God likens His children, us, He likens us to sheep. Over and over and over again, He likens us that God is our shepherd and we are the sheep. And it's one thing to know that, but it's another thing to understand what sheep really are like. And if you're not a farmer of sheep, and if you don't raise sheep yourself, you wouldn't know some of the things in the natural that sheep do or don't do. And as I did research and studied it extensively over many years of putting this Bible study together, these are some things that I discovered about sheep in the natural. Sheep are the most dependent of all livestock. Sheep literally can do nothing for themselves. They have no defense mechanism. They cannot do anything for, they cannot care and tend for themselves. They have to have a shepherd take care of them. They are the most dependent of all livestock. When sheep don't have a shepherd that tends and cares for them, when left to themselves in the natural, sheep are fearful, they're anxious, they're skittish, they're worried, they're nervous. They're a mess when left to themselves without a shepherd. So knowing that, is it any wonder why God likens us to sheep? We're fearful. We're nervous. We're skittish. We're anxious. We have no defense mechanism. We don't know what to do with ourselves. When left to ourselves, we are a mess. And as we've been left to ourselves these last many months, probably every single one of those emotions has risen to the surface at one time or the other. This is what is amazing as I did this study and as I really began to research this. It is the shepherd in the natural. It's the shepherd's 100% responsibility to tend to care for, to feed, to nourish, to find a place of rest, to protect from predators. That responsibility is 100% on the shepherd because the sheep are 100% helpless.
Yep.
It's the sheep's 100% responsibility. They have one thing to do. If this one thing they do, they'll be cared for and tended to and fed and receive rest and be led well and be protected. There's one responsibility that the sheep have in the natural. And that's to keep their eyes laser focused on their shepherd. Mm-hmm. Laser focused. As long as their eyes are on the shepherd, He's going to lead them to green pastures. And He's going to lead them to quiet waters. And He's going to prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. And they're not going to lack for anything. And they're going to have no want. And they're going to have love and goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life because they keep their eyes on the shepherd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want you to know today that God, He's not just a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. Mm-hmm. And He is fully capable of 100% tending to us. And leading us, and guiding us, and feeding us, and meeting our needs, and protecting us from evil. He is 100% able to do that. But as sheep, we have to take our responsibility 100%. Because we have personal responsibility.
Yep.
The shepherd can do all he wants for his sheep. The shepherd can provide all he wants to and do everything in his power to tend and to care and to nurture us. But we have a personal responsibility that no one can keep my eyes on the shepherd except me. And no one, not even your pastors and leaders, can keep your eyes focused on your shepherd except you. And what's happened over these months, we've been separated. The enemy's strategy is to isolate us so that he can then destroy us. And I'm not talking about in the physical. I'm talking about in the spirit. When one sheep wanders off, the Bible says, and we sing the song, that he leaves the 99 and he goes, finds the one, because the one is so helpless and defenseless that he'll leave those together to go get the one to bring them back, to bring them protection and to bring them care. He'll do whatever he can to go find the one. And through this pandemic and through these months that we've walked through, the enemy has been so successful in isolating us and little by little pulling us away to where we're left to ourselves. And we're fearful and we're anxious and we're not resting and we don't have peace and we don't have comfort. Because sadly, too many, not even realizing what you've done, you've taken your eyes off of a shepherd who has walked before you and paved the way even in a pandemic. And his eyes are locked on you. His eyes have never left you. His presence has never walked away from you. He's just waiting for you to relock your eyes on him. Peace and comfort. We're going to get to the other side of this season. And prayerfully today in the spirit, we walk out of here into a new season.
Yep.
But the world that we live in is still dark. And it's still evil. And it's going to continue. And our resetting today is going, God, forgive me that my eyes haven't been locked on you. They've been locked on all the things around me and all the circumstances and what people are doing or not doing or what people are saying or not saying or what the news is reporting or not reporting or what social media is posting or not posting. That's where my eyes have been. And because my eyes have been there, I'm fearful and I'm skittish and I'm scared to death. And I want to put my head in a hole and hide. And I want to run away and I don't know what to do with my life. It's because we haven't focus our eyes on the one who can lead us through these seasons.
Yeah.
Even though we walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. To reset today, has your eyes gone off the shepherd? How do we get our eyes back on the shepherd? Stay in church. Stay in the house of God. Surround yourself with godly people. How do we keep our eyes on the shepherd? You stay in God's word. You stay in the word of God. If ever, ever in our lifetime we've needed God's word, it's now. His word will never, ever change, and everybody and every opinion and every political party will change 10,000 times. The word of God will never, ever, ever, ever change. It's God's voice to you. You want to know God? Know his word. Mm-hmm. You want to hear God? Read his word. Mm-hmm. How do we focus our eyes back on the shepherd? Mm-hmm. We also become aware of his presence. And it's certainly easy to walk in these doors and be aware of his presence. But what happens when you walk out? That God's always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. But we have to be aware of the presence of God in our life. Not just on a Sunday morning when you get up and walk in here. Not just when you're in a dire situation and need prayer and you look to him. Every second of every day, we have to be aware of the mighty God and his Holy Spirit that walks with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Eugene and I are married. I don't know if y'all knew that. And we love each other very much on most days.
Yesterday was not so good, but anyway.
Yesterday was a tough day, but we love each other today. I'm kidding. Eugene and I can be riding in a car together going wherever. And we don't have to say a word to one another. I'm just aware that he's there, and he's aware that I'm there. And at any moment that I want to pick up a conversation and start with him, he's right there. I'm just going to go looking for him. I don't have to beg him, would you come here? He's right there. And I just begin speaking with him and him with me. And that's much like God in our life, the Holy Spirit. As long as we are aware of his presence, as long as we invite him with us, we may not be talking all the time, but he's always right there. And when I need to have a conversation, he's right there. And when I need to ask him something, he's right there. And when I need peace and comfort, he's right there. And when I need to talk to him about a trouble, he's right there. How do we keep our eyes on him? We become aware of his presence with us all the time. Don't put God on a shelf and just save him for you when you need him. Don't just pull him out on a Sunday. Allow him to walk with you every single day, keeping your eyes focused on him, resetting. Move your eyes back to the one who is walking ahead of us and leading the way. Amen?
Amen. Just I want to show you 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We'll put it on the screen for you. Many of you have read this, and I think this is kind of where we are, just in this season. And it says, if my people, that'd be us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. How many of you know that's a promise of God's word? Yeah, we've quoted that scripture often, but let me give you just a little bit of context. And it's tough to understand. We always quote chapter verse 14 without putting it in full context and actually adding verse 13 to it. And let me give you a little bit of the context. Solomon has just completed the temple of God. He just built a house. He just built a church, if you will. David actually had the heart to do it, but wasn't able to do it. And Solomon picked up the legacy of his father David and actually built it. Most people say that from beginning to end, the completion of it took about 20 years to actually build the temple. They set aside 14 days, consecrated themselves, killed 20,000 bulls, sacrificed them on the way in the processional, set aside 14 days to celebrate, to open up this temple. And when they did open it, the presence of the Lord came and filled the place. In fact, they said that the priest could not even stand in the presence of the Lord. They just laid on the ground because they couldn't even stand the presence. So God was in the house. They were having revival when they opened up the church doors. Now, and then God is going to speak to them. And he's going to speak what we just read, but I want to make sure we add verse 13 to it so you can see verse 13 and 14 together. And now let's read it together. When I shut up the heavens, the Lord said, so that there is, read it with me, where there's no rain. Or if I command locusts to devour the land, or to send a plague among my people. Now, then, if my people who are called by my name. Okay, everybody look at me right here because I just want to make sure you do get this because you've probably heard somebody say this. It's almost as if this is a plague. Look at me. It is a plague. It is a plague. You go, will God send it? God will allow it. Nothing comes to us that doesn't first pass through the hand of God. Plagues, locusts, droughts. What 7:13 is saying is those are all judgments of God. God, it's almost like we're under a judgment. Guess what? We are. God, if you're Heidi's 100% right. If your focus is on CNN or Fox News, you are going to be one anxious, miserable soul through this. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you better go get off Facebook and go put your face in the book, the book. You're going to drive yourself crazy. I got a phone call yesterday going, Pastor, I'm so mad at so-and-so in the church because they posted. And I said, can I help you? Yes. Get off of it. Get off of it. If you'll stay off of it, you won't ever see it. And you can elbow fake high five that brother in church. Get off of it. This is a plague. We know there are stories in the Bible about plagues. The most famous of those stories is Pharaoh when Israel were slaves to Egypt. And you remember, how many plagues were there? Anybody remember? 14? No. 10. I got to preach more of the word, y'all. 10. There was 10. You know why there were 10? Do you know why there were 10 plagues? Because Pharaoh didn't repent after the first one. God sent a first plague. Pharaoh's heart hardened. So God sent, guess what? He goes to send another one. Pharaoh's heart hardened. So guess what God does? He sends another one. Everybody look right here. This is a plague. If we don't get the revelation of what God is trying to say to us, then one won't be enough. He'll have to send another one. Somebody said a hurricane. It might be. Are you tracking with me? If you really want a new season, and I do, and I'm preaching to Heidi and I'm just sharing on my heart, then I know the first step to a new season. It's to get what God is saying and humble yourself. Repent of your ways and begin to seek his face again, the shepherd, to get your eyes on him again. And then he promised us, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. I look back over the plague, and I had a group of leaders the other day that I visited with, and Heidi and I and our staff did, and I had to repent. And I said, look, here's some of the things the Lord is showing me personally. This is about Eugene. One is there were some idols in my life. There were times that I had to repent because there were times I checked LSU football before I read my Bible. I'm just sharing you what I was convicted of. As I look back, there were times that I should have preached the word harder than I did. That didn't help you. As I look back, there were some priorities that were out of line in my own life. If I'm the pastor, then I'm responsible from God for you. That if under my leadership God got us here, then I also can have responsibility to get us out. So I am asking you to forgive me. I got to do better. I think God expects me to do better. And I shared that with some of our leaders the other night. One of those leaders called me a couple of days later and said, Pastor Eugene, I appreciate you apologizing, and I receive it, and you're forgiven. But I got to take ownership of it too, because I haven't done my leadership role either. I got my eyes off of the shepherd too. And I've got to take responsibility for it as well. Anybody hearing me today? That maybe you're here today and you're going, I've got to get my eyes back on. If my people would humble themselves, show humility and say, God, I'm guilty too. And ask God to forgive. He said, I'll hear from heaven. If they'll seek my face again and get their eyes back on the shepherd again, he'll start leading us out of this. And I don't know any other way to change and go into a new season. We can declare it all day long. It's a new season in Jesus' name. But if you don't repent for the last season, the new season doesn't begin. Are y'all with me? So I want to lead us in a prayer. I just want to lead us. I just want to show an example, and you just add yours with me. Just say, God, me too. And I just want us to begin to reset, to repent as we walk into this next season. And so, Father, we invite your presence here today. And Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty for not, for wrong priorities. I didn't mean to, but I got distracted by putting other things before you. And so, Father, forgive me for not seeking you first. Many times I sought you last. I sought you as a last resort instead of putting you as the first resort. And so, Father, I ask you to forgive me. There were times, Father, that I didn't say what I needed to say because I might have been more concerned about what people thought than what you thought. And Father, I ask you to forgive me. Father, would you help us to return back to the Word and to the Spirit, to be led by your Spirit, to walk in your Word, and that, Father, we'll leave the results up to you because the results were never up to me. Lord, would you forgive me? Father, forgive me. Father, would humility mark this house? Would prayer mark this house? Would repentance mark this house? And then, Father, you made a promise to us that you would heal our land. And so, Father, we don't want another plague. We want to get the revelation of what you're trying to say to us now. And our answer is yes. Forgive us of our sin. We forgot you. We've put our trust in other things other than you. We've put our trust in political parties instead of you. We've put our trust in other things other than you. Father, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us? Would you come back again? Father, would you send a renewal and a revival to our land again? We need you. We need you, Jesus. And so, Father, forgive us for trusting plans and processes without seeking your face. We put our plans together without even seeking you. And then ask you to bless what we put together when it was never you. Open our ears to hear what you're saying, our eyes to see what you're doing, and Father, to get our focus back on you again. Would you take your emblems? Go ahead and open those. We'll go ahead and make a little bit of noise right now. And you can take the bread off the top, and then we normally don't receive out of the prepackaged, but it's COVID. How many of you know it don't matter, does it? Heidi, reset, repent, and then you have to renew. I think one of the things that God wanted us to do, and he told us to, this sacrament was not just to be a ritual, because it's really not. It's really a renewal. In fact, Jesus is going to say, I want you to do this. I want you to remember me. Some years ago, Heidi and I renewed our vows. We had a little wedding where we redid it. Years later, we renewed. It's where you re-enlist. You just re-up again. It's where you come back to God again and say, Lord, you've been faithful and true to me this far. I'm still, you're my ride or die. I'm going to ride with you. I'm going to recommit to putting you first in my life. And that's what this represents. And so today, we're going to take the bread, which represents the broken body of Jesus. We're remembering, he's reminding us, don't forget what I did for you. This is the nail-scarred hands and lashes on his back. This is where we come together and say, Father, we're re-upping again to follow you all the days of our life. Thank you for the broken body of Jesus that heals our bodies. It touches our diseases. It not only the sickness on the outside to a body, but the sickness on the inside to our hurts, our pains, our anxiousness. And Father, we thank you today. And we receive this broken body in your precious name. Can we partake this together? And likewise, Father, we take the cup that represents the blood that wipes away all of our sin, the new covenant that takes it and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. Can I get a good amen? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb that makes us righteous before him, even though we're not worthy. It makes us clean before him, even though we don't deserve it. We're not worthy. We don't deserve it. It's you that's worthy and makes us worthy. And so, Father, today we thank you. We renew our commitment to you to follow you all the days of our life. You're the Lord. You're the boss. We're not. To get our eyes back on the shepherd again. We commit ourselves to follow you all the days. Our life does not belong to us. It belongs to you. And so, Father, we commit to the lordship of Jesus over all of us. We're going to submit to the word and follow it. We're going to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey it. Father, we belong to you. Make us an instrument in your hand for your purposes and your glory. We renew our commitment to you. In Jesus' name.